This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the Rex Ryan Report. It's brought to you by Fidelis Care and Bud Light. And as much as we probably want to go right to the big question that I need to hear Rex Ryan discuss, that, of course, is the Jets and Greg Williams' decision. We got to hold that. Just hold it because we'd like to start with winners. So let's begin with the Giants and that defense. And Rex, what you're seeing now out of that group over the last couple of weeks, and if you feel like that defense is good enough to be a playoff defense that can win that division.
Well, there's no question they can win that division. I mean, no question about it. You can win seven games and win that division. But their defense is playing really good, and they deserve that. I mean, that really is a playoff caliber defense. They're playing great, and I know statistically they're not in the top 10 yet, but they're well on their way, and I really like the way that front four is playing, especially Big Cat Williams. That one right there, this is the guy, Leonard Williams, this is the guy that the Jets thought they were getting, and he's playing like that with the Giants. So good for them. How the heck are you going to win a game with Colt McCoy as your quarterback? That speaks volumes of your football team. And they found a way. They went to the, you know, a lot of gap scheme running plays, and it was impressive. And to hold the Seahawks down the way that defense did, an amazing performance by that team.
I think it goes back to what Joe Judge said this team was going to be all about at the beginning of his press conference, about toughness. Because, you know, you don't go into Seattle, I don't care if it's fans or 12th man there or not, you don't go into Seattle and you run the ball over them like that, or you control their offense as well, especially when, you know, outside of Patrick Mahomes, I think that Russell Wilson is really the one quarterback that you really don't want to go against, because he has so many different ways in which he can beat you, and he has a good array of weapons, and he had his running game back. And what is it to say about the toughness of this football team, and the fact that, you know, they're getting hot at the right time? Kind of reminds me of us a little bit when we went on that losing streak, but, you know, we start playing well and start figuring things out.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. But I thought, remember when we said about Joe Judge, when he had his team and they're obviously struggling, but he had a tape, he put a tape together, and it showed that, hey, look, you know, this is, he showed the passion and the effort. And all of a sudden, he started owning that team. He wasn't just bitching at him. He was letting them know that he appreciated that effort and appreciated them. And this was his football team. Ever since that time, I said that it can change. That all of a sudden, this team can flip. And that's exactly what happened. That this team has owned it. Now they appreciate the fact that they're working their butts off. They see the vision that their head coach has. And even when we talked about this Colombo guy, you know, real popular offensive line coach, well, he wasn't a team dude. And if you don't have the same vision as the head coach or the same vision as the entire football team, he's going to take you out. And that's what he proved. And now he's got Googe in there, and they're running a gap scheme. They ran the ball down Seattle's throat. I thought it was great. So I'm excited about this team. I can't wait to get Daniel Jones back out healthy, because that really gives him a threat offensively. Because in this game, it was like, well, we better run it, man. You talk about grounded, pal, because our quarterback – I mean, that ain't an NFL quarterback, but he never been one. So the fact they overcame that, just huge props to the Giants.
So tell me this: is this more about Googe, or is this more about Jason Garrett and his ability to put together a game plan? Because he's got a lot of criticism over the years about, you know, his play calling in Dallas. So is this a perfect marriage where maybe Googe said, hey, in New England, we did it like this? Because we're accustomed and used to seeing the Patriots have these crazy throwback running games with like not all-star Pro Bowl caliber running back. So is this more about maybe Jason Garrett? Should he be taking a lap, or is it more about Googe and really putting a perfect marriage together as far as putting his offensive game plan?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's a combination. It's a team. And you mentioned Jason Garrett. Look, when Daniel Jones was struggling early in the year, it's like, golly, dude, you got a really good talent here, and he's playing like crap. Well, all of a sudden, he started hitting it, learning how to protect the football, and this team started taking off. So I just think he's, you know, Jason Garrett absolutely deserves some credit. For recognizing the team he has, and recognizing that each week is a different game, and that's the Patriot way and all that. Googe came in. I had him 1 year. I think we led the league in rushing when he was with me. He's a really good football coach, and I think that helps. But when you look at it, they knew the talent they had or didn't have. So what'd they do? Hell with it. We're going to run the ball. And we're going to keep running it and keep running it and keep running it. And that's what they did and gave themselves a chance. They obviously were in control of the game. And then they relied on their defense to shut it out. And that's exactly what happened.
I'm talking with Rex Ryan, as we do every Monday here at noon. And we're talking about that giant win in Seattle. No 12th man because no crowd, but still dealing with DK Metcalf and that offense and that defense really shut it down. Even Pete Carroll was like, I don't know what was going on with us today. But it certainly had something to do with that giant defense. But you brought up the fact that they went to ground and pound, that they went with the running game. And, man, the offensive line, I thought, played great. But, you know, Wayne Gallman had a day. He certainly did. And I got to ask you, because we've talked about this, Saquon Barkley is going to need to get paid pretty soon. Christian McCaffrey got that big contract, $16 million a year. When you see what Gallman can do with a big offensive line and the right kind of game plan. Now, I know Seattle's defense isn't very good, but still, do you think we're in that point now where that high-priced running back might not be something you need? Or do you think that having Barkley is a weapon and you pay him?
Well, having Barkley certainly is a weapon. But I don't think you pay backs anymore. I think once you get, like, you don't give them the huge salary. We've seen that. History shows us that, no, let some other team pay their running back. Because eventually you're going to need to pay your quarterback. So that, to me, is as long as your quarterback and he earns it, he's the guy of your franchise, because you have to have that. And that's going to eat up most of your cap, okay? But running backs, you can find guys. Wayne Gallman's a great example of it. You can find guys in the later rounds that can still have great years. And that's what this guy does. Look, I remember this kid out of Clemson. I loved him. And, you know, his issues was, does he fumble? And, you know, can he learn how to hold on to the football? Well, he's done that. And I think, I would be cautious about, you know, about giving this guy a long-term deal, especially coming off the injury.
So tell me this, Rex. You know, we talked about the Giant side, point of view of it, but what about on the other side with the Seattle Seahawks? What does this say about them? Is this, you know, have the Giants put a blueprint out to how to beat them and how to slow down Metcalf and how to, you know, take Russell Wilson out of the game plan?
No, I don't think so, Bart. I mean, other teams have stopped them also or slowed them down. I think the big deal is they got to look at themselves in the mirror. This team is a much better team when, you know, a little less cooking by Russ is really the blueprint. It's always been the blueprint for Seattle success, being able to run the football and then put your passing game with it. Right now, they gave up running the football in that game. I think, you know, Chris Carson maybe only had like 13 attempts or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's not good for them. They was need that, to be more balanced, you know.
Was that because Willer was getting cooked? It looked like they were playing rock, paper, scissors. Ooh. To get over there and go against their former teammate.
Boy, you ain't lying. Yeah, that has something to do with it, too.
It's my turn.
There's no question about that. That has something to do with it. You're right.
All right,
you
so
really did. But, again, you got to stay balanced. And, again, remember, we always used to say it, too, and I stole it from Bill Parcells for many years. It's not – you don't have to be that efficient running the football. It's about rushing attempts. And you control the clock. You control the time of possession. and you're protecting your quarterback and those situations too. But it's not necessarily about, you know, hey, we're cracking 7 yards a clip. That's not it. And they brought in Brian Schottenheimer to run the football. They kind of got to get back to that a little.
All right, let's get to it. And I know a lot of Jets fans want to hear your take on this, and a lot of people are still trying to figure it out. I have my theories. I've talked about them, but let me just get yours first right out of the gate. Greg Williams going all-out blitz on that final play there against the Raiders. Just the decision that he made.
Yeah, one of...
Go ahead.
Clearly one of the dumbest calls of all time. That's look, we got beat on some cover zeros before.
Yeah,
never, ever, ever in that situation. Ever in that situation. All you got to do is make a tackle. Get him off the damn field. That's all you got to do. Make one tackle and the game's over. Instead, the only thing, and here's the funny thing, they're playing zone, and they let a guy run right between the zone, too.
Yeah.
The
corner post. It was a corner post. And I think that's why he panicked. I think that's why he panicked, because Aguilar got behind the defense in that. But with that being said, Rex, okay, you decide to go cover zero. All right, whatever. Who are we to say, okay, it's his team. He understands his team better than us.
I'm one to say it. 30 years of coaching gives me the right to say it, and that dude can't hold my job as a defensive coach. That's why I can say what I can say.
Yeah. No. Okay. So,
but with that being said, they don't even run the damn blitz right.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was getting to. They had a spy on cover zero. Listen, everybody in the stadium, everybody watching on TV knows that you're coming with cover zero based on how your defensive backs are lined up. So why the hell isn't everybody lined up in a gap? Why do you have your nickel off the ball, your linebacker off the ball? That allows you to block you. Listen, for everybody out here, listen, me and Rex have not discussed anything, but I'm going to say something, Rex, and I guarantee you that Rex can finish the statement. What's the one thing you can't be on a zero blitz, Rex?
You can never be late. Always rather be early than late.
Listen, Rex has that burnt on my brain. Rex has that burnt on my cerebral cortex. What is the cerebral cortex? Rex has that statement burnt on my... If you peel my scalp back, it's burnt on my forehead.
Oh.
Like, if you're late on a zero blitz, you can't even be on the damn field. You're supposed to be lined up in the gap.
Oh,
they can't block it. You're gapped out. And if what happens is, if you're late, then that allows them to create a pile or usually go goal line or field goal protection where they just stick their arms out and one guy tries to get two. That's why you have to line up in the gaps. They ran the cover zero wrong. And I'll tell you what, I bet you that Jet fan, I bet you that Raider fans are going to make probably this kid Lamar Jackson's charity, if he has one, the number one grossest charity in the history of football.
But I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that poor kid, man. No. And that's the thing. I feel so bad for the Jet players.
Yeah. And
because, this team has been the laughing stock of the league all season. But they got a chance to win the game. And these guys working their asses off. Give them one win. They've earned that win, and you just dang took it from them. And look, Bart, we know they ran that blitz the wrong way. How about a dude trying to pressure rusher spying from 10 yards deep?
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Then he jumped like a spiker in volleyball to try to block a pass that was 50 feet in the air.
And this is the crazy thing. Because everybody out here don't have our football acumen. And this is what I want to try and explain to what this situation was. Game on the line. Essentially what you did is, if you change the color of the jersey in the team, if that's like putting a corner one-on-one, zero coverage with Tariq Hill with off coverage, because that's the type of speed that Henry Ruggs has. Now, is he the type of receiver as Hill? No, he isn't. But he's every bit the speedster. So you put that you put in that situation. Hell, if that dude would have caught a quick slant, he would have ran and hit his head on the goalpost. It didn't have to be a vertical route.
And that's the thing where everybody's of the corner's just got to stay on top. Oh, yeah. Who the hell's going to catch the dude underneath?
Yeah. Right. Like, no
the
help.
Ball was going to Henry Ruggs. And to your point, Tyreek Hill is maybe a nick faster than this guy. Maybe not. Like, that's how explosive this kid is. And this is an undrafted free agent corner out there doing his dangdest. You put him in that situation, and that is total BS. And it's just, I just couldn't believe it. When I saw it, I'm like,
Rex,
as
that
Bob
said, good job.
Said when he was doing the game, you got to be kidding me. That's it, dude.
Rex, with that being said, thanks a lot. I'm glad
Yeah, that's the weird part is that, of course, it was like that uneasy feeling of the Jets having the lead and Derek Carr just missing receivers left and right and me going like, damn it, Derek Carr is going to ruin it for us. Like, it's such a bad place that I'm in as a fan that I don't even know how to enjoy that they win. And should I enjoy that or should I enjoy that they just had another embarrassing loss? But you said something that caught my attention. I got to ask you because, like I said, I have these theories because I'm always about the conspiracies. Now you make it sound like then that was it a user error? Was it the fact that the players made the mistake? Like he went, like the linebacker went in the wrong spot or whatever it was. Was it that the call could have worked if the play was executed properly, like a lot of coaches like to say? Or did Greg Williams call this because he figured, you know, like Bart always calls Fridays effing Friday. Like this was just basically YOLO. Like Greg Williams is like, I'm just going to blitz this dude because we can't cover anyway. Like, I'm just going all in. Because my conspiracy theory is he was also looking at the head coach going, you know how many games you lost for me? I know we're both out of here. The hell with you. You're not getting your dub.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case. But, like, to me, this is who he is.
Yep.
He's got the biggest ego of almost anybody that you'll ever meet. He really does. And look, and I get it. As a coach, you got to have an ego. I have an ego. Everybody, you got to. But you can't be, that can't take away from your team. You have a responsibility to try to put your players in the best situation to be successful. And you never did. You almost gave them, and not a 0% chance, but maybe a 50-50, and I'm being super kind. Yeah. It's probably 90-10 that you were going to fail with that call. I can tell you this. Derek Carr or any quarterback in the league wants you to play cover zero in that situation 100% of the time. That's how wrong a call this is in that particular situation.
He said he was shocked by it.
Bro, you do that call like when it's 10 yards or 15 yards, not 50, because too much space to cover.
Yeah,
all he's going to do is fade away and throw it up, and that's all he has to do. Throw it up, and his guy's got to get it. And if he doesn't catch it, it's going to be a legal contact or something crazy because dude's going to panic.
Well, yeah, and you got 17 seconds left. Like, he made a great cover zero call and a fourth down call. Let's give Greg Williams credit. Blitz that linebacker right through in the middle. Got a quick throw. He couldn't get enough on it. Incomplete. But with 17 seconds left and them having to go 45 yards, all you have to do is tackle the dude in bounds, whoever it is. And that's giving them everything. Completion, run, all that. We make a tackle. We win the game. See you later. And that's it. They got no chance to win this game.
Tell you what,
you gave them a great opportunity to win it with your call. It was so stupid. It's not even funny.
But if this ends up with Trevor Lawrence in a Jet uniform, how will we look back at that game then?
It was a brilliant call. That's how you're gonna. That's how we're gonna look at it. I talked to Mike Greenberg today. He called it the Trevor Lawrence defense. Perfect call. Put that Trevor Lawrence defense out there.
But I know you hate this stuff. I know as a coach, you always are about the win, and Bart's the same way as a player. You're always about the win. But this is one of those games, guys. I'm telling you, and I know I said it earlier. I'm watching this game, and I don't know how to feel. Because I want to see my team do well. I want to see Sam play well. I like to see the young guys. There was several of the young guys looked good in that game.
The running game was ridiculous.
Hell
I think
yeah.
The best thing
the
to happen is Frank. The best thing is Frank Gore getting knocked out early because it forced him. Listen,
and
it forced him to play those two.
I played Ty Johnson on my fantasy team the week before, and I played Waller the week before in a fantasy team that we do.
Missed it by a week.
I just 1 week a little too early.
Because the most impressive thing is that, listen, those dudes were averaging 9 yards a carry and 6 yards a carry, and I think it showed you what that offensive line can do and how they look. I like that little scrappy dude that's next to Becton that they got from Minnesota. I thought he plays with a sense of nastiness, and that's what you want your guards to do. And they ran the ball to the tune of 200 yards, and it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't some busted coverage or busted play.
No.
They were getting downhill, and they were going behind Route 77,
yeah.
And he was blocking dudes with one arm, two arms, Ben blocking them, all kind of craziness. So I think, you know, the byproduct is, listen, Frank Gore, whether he's healthy or not, I think that we need to continue to see what we got from these running backs, because if we can have him and P. Ryan can be decent, one of these guys can become a third down back, then I think that's something that come out of this, because those running backs look long. They remind me of Chris Brown because they look like they were like 6 feet or taller, long mm-hmm. striders, but they yeah. were hitting it, and they had that suddenness to get through the hole. But Rex, I know we always talk about your one son and Daniel Jones. Let's talk about your illegitimate nephew and Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Because that was a butt yeah. kicking. And listen, for the first time, he looked like a real quarterback. He looked like somebody that we were used and accustomed to seeing play. But I thought it was impossible for me to see a team out physical Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I thought Cleveland out physical Tennessee, and Tennessee wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, no, and you know what, Bart? Like Baker Mayfield, I even said it, remember last week, about how this team could go deep in the playoffs if they get average play at quarterback.
Yes.
They got a hell of a lot better than average play. That kid played his butt off. And if Baker Mayfield plays like that, I'm telling you, and as physical as they were, Bart, like you just said, they were more physical than Tennessee. Woo-hoo, we all know the most physical team wins in the playoffs most of the time. Watch out for the Cleveland Browns. It sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, Sheldon Richardson's playing great there.
Yes.
You get Myles Garrett out
I
there.
I hate to see all these damn former Jets playing great everywhere. They playing great everywhere, Rex. You're not supposed to lose your first-round draft picks, and we got two dudes playing great everywhere. I mean, hell, the dude Belize play like crap for the Jets. He go play for the Chargers, and all of a sudden he can play. What the hell is going on?
Hey. Yeah, it's just they're doing a horrible job of evaluating their own people. And that's the thing that's scary about Sam Darnold. Because quite honestly, yep. look, yeah. if for anybody in Sam Darnold's camp, you really want the Jets to win a game. Because if they do, they will keep Sam Darnold.
Yep.
You're not going to draft the kid from Ohio State, in my opinion. Okay. The kid from BYU. These guys are good, but they're not a guy that you would go purposely out to draft over Sam Darnold. So that
Sam knows that
that's
too.
What's going to be interesting about this.
Sam knows that too, and that's why you saw Sam lower that shoulder on that goal line. He wouldn't be denied because he's like, all I got to do is win one. And listen, I know that the coach is out of here. I believe in the general manager. I'm going to get my option picked up. I don't have to go somewhere and sit behind somebody next year by being traded, sit behind like Jameis Winston. So all he has to do is take care of his business itself, and he's guaranteeing himself $28 million because if you don't get Trevor Lawrence, you're fine with saying, you know what, I'm going to stick with Sam Darnold. So I think we're going to continue to get decent play from him. If they run the ball like they did yesterday, they have a shot in winning one because it looks like Jacksonville, you know, Glennon doesn't get the message too. I know people in Jacksonville are like, hey, man, we might need to bench Glennon, put Minshew in there because this dude's actually trying to win.
Jacksonville. Yeah. I mean, that game,
that's again
the craziest way we're watching football this weekend is watching games like that and suddenly rooting for a team that, you know, to see if you can get that win. And Minnesota almost gave that game away. Rex, before we let you go, though, I do want to ask you about another coaching situation where now it feels like Anthony Lynn's on the hot seat there. The Chargers just got absolutely smoked by New England. Now, they have a quarterback. They know they have a quarterback of the future. There is talent on that team, but they just seem to lose a lot of heartbreakers. But this one, obviously, was over quickly. What do you see happening there, and is it a coaching issue?
Well, I mean, it's certainly going to be looked at. And when you have they gave up basically three touchdowns on special teams, by the way, in that game. So a punt return for a touchdown, a blocked field goal for a touchdown, another punt return to like the 10-yard line. So it was absolutely atrocious. You know, Cam Newton had 69 yards passing. That's it. But it never mattered because they couldn't stop the run. And then offensively, the kid, they had a backup, like a four-string left tackle in there because their left tackle, I guess his wife, misplanned pregnancy, and she was giving birth to a child. So it was like it just seems like it's always something right there.
You got to do it on Zoom.
Will this be a coaching change? You know, you can't lose games like this down the stretch and expect to hang in there. I hope better things are ahead for Anthony Lynn, and I really do, but. you know, these type of losses right here, it's hard to swallow, you know, for ownership, certainly.
Yeah, you have to plan better. Although, I mean, I'm the king of the
Zoom, man. He could have watched from the locker room.
Surprise babies. So, oh, it happened again.
Oops. Yeah, that thing's overrated, man. Shoot, I never saw my second child being born. And, you know, your wife never gets over it, so that's a problem.
Yeah, that's the issue.
I don't think
a nurse holding an iPad right in the screen, that's not really what you want in the delivery.
You got to go for it, though, you know.
But we got a game. Rex, always great to talk to you. That was a lot of fun. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yo, this is a good one. A good one today off week 13. Let's go. Audio files.
The audio file.
Real quick, by the way, our SNY quote of the game winner is Michael Diaz from New Jersey. That might have been the easiest one of the season, but he was right. It was Lamar Jackson. So, okay, let's get to it. So I want to remind everybody. So Quinnen Williams, by the way, just retweeted or quote tweeted a SportsCenter report that Greg Williams had been fired. And when he quote tweeted it, he added facepalm emojis, which would suggest, I guess, that he's not thrilled about this. I wonder how Marcus May is going to have to deal with whatever he's got to deal with in that locker room if there are some guys that really loved playing for Greg Williams, which Quinnen was one of them last week when we had him on as our Jets guest of the week. Remember, he brought up what he loved about Nick Saban and threw Greg Williams into the mix. Take a listen.
I definitely feel like that's the best way to build any organization, man. Any business, anything like that, about a standard, a culture, and just a process, man. Without a process, without a standard, man, you have nothing, man. You have no culture. So if you can get there, if you got a leader who sets that level and that thing, the process like that, and a winning organization, you got Belichick, who got it, Andy Reid, who got it, Coach Saban, Dabo Sweeney, all these great coaches, got a standard in the process, and you see why those coaches are so successful and what they do. So I believe that if you got a process and you're hard coaching and things like that, if you know how to take it, you're going to have a great winning person in you. So I definitely believe that. Like Greg Williams, like everybody, Greg got the notorious thing about how hard he coached, man. I love it. Like, I just feel like every time we go on the field, like, I'm going to go fight for Greg, because Greg knows, like, he's going to put me in the best predicament to win his games.
He misused the word predicament, but kind of ironically, that's the right word in this case.
Just got his braces off.
No, I understand, but he definitely put them in the best predicament to win yesterday. It's no question about that. But Bart, do you wonder if maybe in that locker room might get a little divided?
No, listen, Marcus May had a job to do, and the job was to do to protect Lamar Jackson and say that it should have been a better call, you know, understanding what the personnel was. You know, I don't think Marcus May, by any stretch of the imagination, was trying to get Greg Williams fired, but he was trying to stand up. And sometimes as a team and as a leader, you know, we've seen guys say that. I mean, we've heard people, you know, defend beast mode, should have got the ball, right?
Yes.
Played it, ended up losing the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when things like that happen, the guys that follow you as a leader, as far as the leader of the players, then they expect you to say what they know they can't say. So Marcus May or Quinnen Williams are the only ones who can make that statement. And Marcus May did that because he felt like that's what was the opinion of the majority of the group.
I'm curious. I would love to be a fly on the wall in that locker room right now just to see that conversation. But Quinnen didn't sound too happy. Meanwhile, in the Giants locker room, as you would say, Bart, Hakuna Matata.
Yep. Kuda Matata.
I mean, they are really in a good place right now as a franchise, and they have a head coach who's very much in charge. He's made that clear on a number of occasions, even from day one. We saw it in training camp, the way he was demanding a high standard, and the players, most of them at least, have lived up to it. Those who haven't are falling off the wayside. Even coaches who didn't live up to it were pushed out. As we saw recently, they are winning. They are on their way right now, a favorite to win the division, which is improbable. And Joe Judge, after the game, didn't just talk about how the stars and the players, as we said in the beginning, remember that he talked about teaching. He talked a lot about teaching players. So we've got guys like Trey Crowder. You've got guys like Carter Coughlin, a seventh-round pick. These are guys that are making plays in a big game for the Giants late in the season. That says a lot, and Joe Judge is very proud. Take a listen.
We like them. They're good players. They're improving. They've shown us reason to put them on the field. You know, we've put them out there. They've made, you know, one play, so we give them an opportunity to make two plays. They've done that. And we're getting a lot of solid contributions from guys that are veterans, a lot of solid contributions, guys that are, you know, young guys, rookies. And look, I can't stress enough, I don't care how you get here. I don't care if you're, you know, a seventh round pick, undrafted, first round. It doesn't matter. Like, that's all done once you get in the door. Once you walk through the door, everyone's on level playing ground. And, you know, you go out there to practice, you have to earn every rep you get. And when you get on the field, you have to perform with it. So, again, you know, I think our guys understand that, you know, everybody has the same chance every week of going out there and playing. And it all comes down to how they perform on the field and how they prepare.
I mean, everything about this dude, I mean, I'm sorry. One thing I'll say about Joe Judge, Bart, is what we've learned. He's incredibly consistent, isn't he?
Yeah.
And that message continues. Everybody's on the same level. You were an undrafted guy that came in from a 1AA, and you made a name for yourself because you got an opportunity in a similar type of situation like this. Agree?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. You know, what happens is you see that effort and production will be rewarded. Then you'll put the consistent effort in, and you'll put the consistent time in to make sure that you're able to get an opportunity, because you know what the rules are to get an opportunity. So it's fair for everybody.
That's the main thing. Again, consistency from your coach, and everybody gets a fair opportunity, a fair shot. That all matters, and that's what you've got going on with the Giants right now. What's happening in Philly? It's a mess. Carson Wentz struggled early, and Doug Peterson had to do it, and he went to Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts did not... They had a little bit of a push to make it a game late against Green Bay, but it really was never a game. And now for Carson Wentz, the question is he no longer the starter? Here's Wentz after the game.
Do you think you should be the starter?
Listen, that's not for me. I know what I'm capable of. I know I can play better. I never have doubted myself or lost my confidence in my abilities. But, you know, like I said, a lot of these things are outside of my control.
He's going to be the quarterback going forward. The question is, will Doug Peterson be the coach?
Or will somebody trade for him? I'll take that contract.
That contract, you would?
Former MVP. He's not making Russell Wilson money. He's not making Deshaun Watson money. So if you get him...
It's a two-year investment, though. You can't do anything with him for two seasons. So yeah, but if he's bad early, you're stuck with him.
But he can be fixed. So, I mean, if you're the Colts, wouldn't you trade a second round? If you can get him for a second round draft pick...
I like that fit.
Are you doing is...
With that,
you
know, offensive line, right. I like that fit.
Who does Carson Wentz remind me most of?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Like, with his ability to run the ball, run RPOs.
But does he process the way Luck did?
Well, he look who he's throwing to.
Nah, fair.
He don't have time. Nobody's been hit more than him. He put his back foot in the ground.
No, he's constantly getting sacked.
He's on pace to be sacked 60 times this year. So if you put him behind that great mountain of a wall, you think he worried about anything? If Phillip Rivers ain't getting touched, I think Phillip Rivers is the least sacked quarterback in the league.
Too.
So you put him behind there, he ain't getting hit. Now he's going to look like he looked during those years. And guess what? He can throw to T.Y. Hilton. He gets to throw to Pittman. He gets to throw to all these other weapons
and I'll tell you what, too, Bart. You'd almost think, right, like you'd probably get him at a good discount because Philly wants to move that contract.
Listen,
Philly would move that contract if they could.
Bro, what are they paying Phillip Rivers 1 year? $25 million.
Yeah, yeah.
What is 2 years time $25 million?
No, I get it. $50 million.
What is Carson Hitz hit? Yeah. $50 million. Mm-hmm. So that's perfect. It just washes the books.
No, but yeah, you can get. I'm saying,
listen,
you can get
I just did the work.
Anthony's going to clip this off and save it. So when that trade,
and then somebody else going, and Dan Orlovsky is going to be like, see what they should do. Like, really, Dan? Really? Really?
As I said the other day.
Right, exactly.
But we get that in the business all the time. But Jalen Hurts, first and foremost, for Philly, is going to have to at least show you something. If he does become the starter, he's got to show you a little different dynamic that maybe Philly gets a little excited about. Okay, he's more mobile, so our offensive line that's old and broken down, all right, he's probably better because he's more elusive and he can survive a bad offensive line. He's got to show you something, because if he sucks, then you can't trade Carson Wentz.
All those guys are going anyway, so let's see how quickly they can devise the Lamar Jackson type of offense, because he should be in a Lamar Jackson type of offense, because that's the type of athlete he is. He's a 4-5, you know, 40 guy. He's a guy that can do the RPOs and also do the form of the triple option, because that's what he did basically in Oklahoma. I know he threw the ball more, but that's what he's always been. He's an athlete too.
Oh, no question. He and Tua were different looks as well at Alabama.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Oh, let's go. Bart, do you realize there's three games left in this week?
Not getting hustled.
Oh, here we go.
Keeping your head above water. Making a way when you can. Temporary layoffs. Good time. Easy credit rip-offs.
Scratching and surviving.
Here we go. Listen, listen.
Yeah.
What is that?
We looked in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
Or the Ebonics Dictionary, and we
are
figured
sure?
out what it said. So the actual words are
hanging in the jiving.
And so what jiving is, for all these young whippersnappers
yeah,
out
how do you
there,
jive?
I had to ask my mama what jiving means. So I guess jiving back in the day was a code word for hanging out and just messing around. So it was a hucka and a jiving. You know what I'm saying?
Are you sure? Because, see, Johnny Y on Twitter is telling us, he insists, Lyrics Fine claims it's hanging in a chow line.
No,
if we could play it again,
in a jiving.
I'm telling you, play it again.
I just looked at the song, and it had it said, and they were putting the words for every part of it. Hanging in a jiving. Not in a chow line. That is Dave Chappelle's show. That is
sure?
Dave Chappelle's show.
Are you sure?
Hey, and it's because they sing, hanging in the jiving. Only here can you get the answer, the real answer to the 30-year-old question from black folks.
And Anthony anyway. Now is mad at us because we wasted so much time on this and we still got to do lunch money. We still got to make us some money.
Let's make some money. Well,
Let's make some money. All right, quickly, let's put our daily fantasy team for these two games today. And this portion of the show is brought to you by your local Honda dealers. Contact one for a great deal today.
Honda.
Bart should be reading that from now on because, yeah, for that part. All right, so our daily team today for our two games, which is Washington at Pitt and Buffalo at San Francisco. We go Josh Allen, we'll go Mozart, we'll go Gibson, Diggs, Claypool, Ayuk, Croft, Samuel, and the Steeler defense. All right, quickly as we go through it. Pittsburgh is laying 6 in this game. I'll take the Steelers, man. I know emotionally this could be an upset game, but I'm taking the Steelers. You?
I'll take Washington.
Okay, and then Buffalo, San Francisco. Remember, that's being played in Arizona because the Niners are not allowed to play in the Bay Area right now. So that's a pick 'em, basically. But right now they have the Niners minus one. As the sort of home team, I'm going Buffalo anyway. Same?
I'm going Buffalo as well.
Buffalo as well?
Yeah, they're being disrespected.
Yeah, they are being disrespected, I think. It's a big game, too. So I guess we won't know the truth. Is it hanging in a chow line?
Hanging
Is it
in
hanging
a jive.
And jiving?
Hanging
Did
in a jive.
Did Greg Williams call the code red because he wants the Jets to get Trevor Lawrence? There's so
jiving.
Many questions that remain unanswered. There might be something that we have to continue to discuss tomorrow. So, Bart, I'll see you then.
Not getting hassled.
Not getting hustled.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.